The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch. John's engineering and producing the show. He's on the other side of the glass in our still kind of new studios here, the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. It's Friday, November the 15th, 2019. We're live each weekday, have been since the first week of January 2011. We're on 1030 Tucson's Voice. We're trusted news talk, worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. Friday, big media partner shout out. First of all, top of the list, TucsonSentinel.com, where the editor, publisher, founder is with me in studio today, Mr. Dylan Smith. Dylan, thank you for being with us.
A pleasure, as always. And you're right. You know, this new studio still has a little bit of that new studio smell going on, which is a whole lot better than what it used to be.
Well, we used to be in what we call the linen closet, and that would have been kind of putting four of us in the closet was a difficult challenge, but we did pull it off. Others that we would like to thank, Dan Shear, my friend down at Green Valley News and Sal Rita Sun, and the Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, Jim Ninsel over at the Tucson Weekly. Jim also oversees some of the other publications there, Inside Tucson Business, Oral Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today, Dustin Williams is here. Dustin is the superintendent of the Pima County Public Schools, a 20-year education veteran. Here's a guy that was in the trenches teaching. What was it? Computer science? What were you teaching, Dustin? So first of all, good to see you.
Yeah, general teacher, glad to be here. Yeah. Glad to be on with your listeners and the panel. Just an elementary school teacher is where I first started.
Yeah,
just,
well, now he's in the role as the superintendent of Pima County Public Schools. Also with me in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio, Joe Ferguson, political writer for the Arizona Daily Star. Joe is a board member for the Arizona Press Club. He's a past president of the Press Club. Dylan Smith is still very active in journalism professional matters. He's the immediate past chair of the local independent online publishers known as Lion Publishers, and Dylan is the vice president of the Arizona Press Club. So away we go.
Maybe I'm not anymore because I missed that one meeting a couple weeks ago.
We're both vice presidents. That's the scary thing.
Did they take his name away off the list, Joe, or is he's still involved?
He's still a valued member.
All right. Again, it's good to have you, Dustin.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Let's begin with an appointment that you had to make. One of your charges as the superintendent of Pima County Schools, when there is a vacancy after Mark Stegeman announced his resignation here on the program.
Absolutely.
He had just come, by the way, from meeting with you and giving his resignation. That you then had, I think, about 2 weeks, right? Kind of to go over, a couple of weeks to go over. You had 15 candidates that came forward, and you chose Bruce Burke. Why Mr. Burke?
You know, first of all, we commend all the candidates that actually applied for a position as a governing board member at TUSD. It's no small task. Let's just put it that way. And governing board members work tons of hours, and so we commend all of them. We looked at the 15 amazing candidates that came out there, and everything we do in this office all revolves around kids. And we say to ourselves, what is going to be the best option for students? And we looked at Bruce's resume, and we looked at the mission and vision of TUSD, and it all fit perfectly. We knew he was going to be the best fit. And so
former board member on TUSD.
Former board member, just really well-renowned in the community of Pima County itself, does a lot for foundations, got the Lifetime Achievement Award for the Educational Enrichment Foundation that Mayor Jonathan Rothschild just received literally a couple weeks ago. And just his demeanor and everything that we saw when we interviewed him and we looked at, again, his credentials, and just knew that he was going to be a perfect fit. And we think it's going to be a great roadmap for him. And it's going to be a great roadmap for TUSD and kind of lead the way to help the students.
Dylan.
Did it factor at all into your decision to appoint Bruce Burke that he said he wasn't going to pursue election to that seat next year?
Yeah,
did that make a difference?
That's a really, really good question. I'm glad you asked that. One of the things when we were kind of putting all this together and we said to ourselves is, let's not necessarily make a platform for someone else. We did like that he said he wasn't running again. We feel it gives a more kind of a general playing field coming up into the 2021, which everyone's going to have to live with the person they vote for in 2020 of November, which will be a four-year term. And so this gives the public some time to just evaluate the candidates, give everyone a fair shot. And in the meantime, watch Bruce's approach to things and work with the four elected leaders that are there right now.
The school incident, unfortunately, another shooting over in Southern California this yesterday. When you look at the Pima County public schools, how prepared are we, Dustin Williams, for, God forbid, an incident like that?
First of all, prayers and our hearts go out to the families of the victims of that entire organization and also other states that this has happened. One of the first things that I did when I did get elected in 2016 and took the office, literally when we got sworn on in January 3rd, 2017, is I asked that question. I said, how safe are we? That's the first and foremost, most important thing. And we ran into an organization, which is called ICSAVE, and it's a nonprofit group that is all first responders giving their time that said, hey, we want to be in all the schools. And we said, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
It's all about active shooter training and really stopping the bleed control. And I didn't know this, but that's the number one reason why somebody would perish.
Is bleeding out.
The bleed out. And so together with the efforts of all of the districts and also Sheriff Napier being a good a role in this to kind of help bring in their active shooter programs and kind of combine this and partner up. So right now we feel very, very safe in this county. We're an active county and we just need to work together and be vigilant. If you hear or know of anything, don't ever hesitate to pick up the call, dial 911 or just get in touch with someone. That's the first and foremost thing you can do. If you hear anything or know anything, you got to let us know.
What was this organization called that you said?
ICSAVE.org. And it's literally I-C and then S-A-V-E. Bruce now, Whitney is the contact that...
when you have these incidents it's out and you do these active shooter drills, it's kind of traumatic in itself for the kids, isn't it? Just going through the drill itself.
So one of the things is when I was teaching and even an administrator, we mainly did fire lockdowns, that sort of stuff. So the new trend now is to put students through an active shooter drill where they literally will have individuals with guns running through a hall. So as important it is and as safe it is to train in these sort of situations.
Real guns.
Either real or wooden that look extremely real.
All right.
And let me tell you, I had to get trained on it. And I was recently at an active shooter training in the Tancredi District School and at their high school. During the moment, a student pulls out a gun out of her bag.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, was a moment where I did absolutely everything wrong. I just froze.
Right.
And they, you know, you're not used to that type of training. You're sitting there, these are students. There was a little altercation. The next thing you know, the girl brings out a gun out of her bag. Hmm. And so then they teach you to go through the same scenarios and what do? And you do stuff like you scream gun, 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 and run, mm-hmm. run, or mm-hmm. you flight, hide, or whatever you need to do. But during all of this, we're starting to reflect on some of the data that's coming in, and we're starting to wonder what's that doing to the psyche of the students with these type of drills. So obviously we want schools prepared. But the same token, these are such traumatic experiences that the trauma could be causing is something that we have to take into consideration.
Mm. Dylan, do you want to change the subject or should we take the break first?
I guess we could sneak in a break here. I'm feeling a little peckish.
All right. We will continue with Dustin Williams. But right now, Dustin, we're going to take a break here to talk about one of our favorite bakeries in town. Not one of our favorite bakeries, our favorite bakeries. It's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle.
Well, let me tell you this. On air, right now, okay, after this show, I'm ordering a Danish Kringle.
There you go.
And I'm doing it for my Thanksgiving.
Perfect.
Here's the thing. You're going to have to decide which Danish Kringle to order.
Thank you, Joe Ferguson. I've got flavor.
I'm taking the recommendation from my main man,
Almond.
Bill Buckmaster, Almond. The Almish Danish Kringle.
Almond Danish Kringle up at Mona's Danish
Can't
Bakery.
Go wrong.
Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, and Steve, who is the chief baker and owner. Of course, people are putting in their orders now for their rolls and the pies. Steve has informed me this year they will be doing pumpkin, apple, blueberry, cherry, and pecan. Whoa. Dylan, what sounds good?
I'm going to have to roll with pecan, I think.
I thought you might. The pecan does sound tempting, doesn't it? Joe?
I'm sorry. I'm going with cherry here, guys.
Okay. dinner bread, the dinner rolls, Steve also informs me that, is it pronounced Shala? How is it pronounced? Challah. Challah bread, Steve says, looks so pretty on the dinner table. That might be a nice way to do your dinner rolls there, Dustin.
All right. I'll consider that.
Okay. Consider it. Anyway, check it out, Mona'sDanishBakery.com, and of course, there's a link at BuckmasterShow.com, 579-1959 for your order, and you'll be seeing Dustin up there very quickly, Steve, as he places his order for Thanksgiving. We continue now on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It's 12:16. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Take 5 minutes to give us your input on regional transportation matters. The Regional Transportation Authority's 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee prepared draft guiding principles to consider as they prepare to develop the next RTA plan. The survey is available between mid-November and mid-December. To take the survey or to sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Friday Focus Interview. We bring in a newsmaker, and this week it's Dustin Williams, superintendent of the Pima County Public Schools. Dustin made an appointment that garnered quite a bit of news. He appointed Bruce Burke to fill the vacancy of Mark Stegeman. Mark was on the board for a long time, I think 2010, Dustin. I think that's when he joined the TUSD board.
I believe that's correct.
Dustin Williams, in his portfolio of schools that he is involved with, 17 school districts in Pima County, and that translates into over 200 schools. Boy, how many students would that be?
Yeah, you've got about 150,000 students in Pima County K-12.
Yeah. Joe Ferguson is here. Joe from the Arizona Daily Star and Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. Why don't we hear now from Joe Ferguson of the Star? Go ahead, Joe.
I just want to get your opinion on Vail Schools District in terms of their textbooks. You're an educator for the last 20 years, so what do you think about Vail producing their own textbooks and then licensing them to other school districts?
You know, it's a district that has tremendous vision, so hats off to Cal Baker in that, and referring to the Beyond Textbooks at Vail. We're seeing tremendous success, and if you can build a business within your own organization that benefits kids at the end of the day, that are going to have good results in all sorts of areas, including rural areas, and provide some sort of curriculum support, whatever it is that you can share a best practice, I'm all for it.
Not concerned about some of the issues we had where there were issues in Texas and the South where textbooks were just a little bit incorrect?
Well, we'd have to see what particular one. I mean, we've got textbooks in classrooms right now dated back to copyrights that are in the late 70s or early 80s. You know, curriculum all over the place. As long as that board approves it with those school districts, those elected leaders are the ones that are in charge. So we hope that it's all great education in those books, and we just need to do our due diligence to make sure that they got the proper curriculum in those schools.
Dylan, how long have we been talking about teachers and the shortage and morale? It seems like forever, hasn't it?
Forever and a day. And can't really call it news because it's pretty much more of the same, but there was another information point that came out this week. It was a survey by the educational publisher, Houghton Mifflin. And they surveyed thousands of teachers all over the country, and pretty much educators don't have a great deal of confidence in the state of their profession and their future. Across the country, it was about just 30-something percent have a confidence in what they're doing, and that they, you know, that the state of education is good right
now.
That's
pretty sad. 3 out of 10?
Yeah. That's not good. It's not good to, it's harder and harder, I think, to retain experienced teachers. So many leave. So many young teachers leave. Your position as superintendent in Pima County is kind of unusual in that you don't have a lot of direct authority over what these school districts do.
Correct.
So how do you use the bully pulpit that you're given, even if all you can do is do that, and you can't tell districts what to do for the most part? How are you thinking of tackling teacher morale and just, you know, trying to make sure that we maintain good public schools?
Yeah, besides coming on the Bill Buckmaster Show and begging our legislators to fund education, right? That's a great question. So that's something we've looked at, that we say, who are community leaders out here that can help us bolster the morale of these teachers? Because we can settle in the doom and gloom, or we can try to portray what's really happening in these classrooms, which is some phenomenal stuff. I mean, we have some great things. It's just the working conditions in some of these dilapidated buildings that haven't had capital funding for years, and I mean years.
Like the 1950s?
Yeah. I mean, we've just got old buildings, and they take dollars to look nice, just like your brand new studio right. in here looks good. It, you know, it's not cheap to do this.
No.
So one, we commend Governor Ducey on a plan like the 20 by 2020. And then we say to Governor Ducey and the entire team and all the legislators in Phoenix that 2020 can't stop at 2020. This is the first infusion of dollars that we have seen that's significant. So we need an extension of that for 5 to 10, however many years, until we can start to see the teacher shortage vacancy start to correct, because that's the first problem. And then the second thing is we look for those, like I mentioned, community partners, for instance, Rio Nuevo and the Roadrunners. The Roadrunners organization has come to us several times and say, Dustin, what would you like to do to help build the morale of teachers? And we said, quite frankly, we'd like free tickets.
Right.
And we'd like free tickets for the students. So they said, how about 6,000?
Really?
And we did one of the largest field trips last year, the Roadrunners, and we had about 5,500 kiddos go.
To the hockey game?
Yeah, to the hockey. It was a day game. It was amazing.
Oh, that's right. It was a day afternoon game.
That's right. Yeah. That does not happen without incredible business partners like Nova and Jim Click and all these people behind the Roadrunners and multiple others to help this happen. So then this year, the day game was scheduled on a day that we couldn't do it. So last month, they gave us 1,000 tickets. So we put 600 teachers in the game. And we just got word yesterday, this is new, at schools.pima.gov, we will be having another 1,000 tickets for an early Christmas to the Roadrunners hockey game.
Very good.
So those type of things, Dylan, I mean, it doesn't seem like much.
But they're morale building.
It puts a smile on a teacher's face, puts a smile on a student's face, and it doesn't cost them any money. The other part is what the office does do and what we do have control of is our programs and what sort of programs in the form of professional development can we bring to these schools. And because we're a nonprofit government agency, we can do this at the absolute lowest price possible and give the best professional development to these teachers that's actually really worthwhile and something that they really enjoy. But again, you got to find a price point that a teacher can afford. And so for us to do a professional development like STEMAZING, where they come and do science, technology, engineering, and math, it would cost, you know, over $100 to $150 per teacher for one session. So Tucson Electric Power, Thomas Brown Foundation comes in, and they help us out by giving the teachers kind of scholarships for that, or they'll give our office a donation to offset the cost. So then we can do that next to free for the teachers and provide some incredible professional development.
So this 2020 thing, it was a 3-year deal, right? The governor's 2020 plan?
Got approved in 2017 budget.
So
right?
Yeah. We're coming up on a new legislative session. You want to see education move to the top of the agenda again, like it was year before last, but last year kind of sort of backburnered again.
Well, you know, we just kind of get what we get. We had $1 billion that we're able to tap into. There's about $1 billion owed to education since the recession.
What did you say?
There's about $1 billion.
Billion.
Owed. Yeah, billion with a B.
Wow.
Billions. We're just backlogged in money. And, you know, from that recession, it never got restored. We're still at the same funding mechanisms or funding rates that we were before the recession. So we just have a lot of work to do.
Dylan, aren't we another decade down the road of classrooms slowly falling apart?
We have, if you look at the actual infrastructure issues in the pipeline within the next, let's just call it 20 years, but a decade's fine, you've got some significant...
No, but I mean, so from when we basically cut back at the start of the Great Recession through now, that's a decade right there that we're kind
easily.
Of, you know, haven't... spent any money on that.
Correct. And these infrastructure costs are looming and on the way. So we have got to get prepared to figure out how to do it. Remind you, at a major district, the whole AC unit to be installed, cost everything is about $800,000.
What was that? $800,000?
To do a full-on AC unit installation, brand new unit. And
for say one elementary school is what you're talking about.
Yeah, maybe like a larger high school, like okay. Amphi size, something like that.
Whoa. Well, Dylan brought up morale. So how does it all translate now? How did this school year look for the school you're here in Pima County for the teacher shortage? Overall, what's your assessment?
Overall, a small gain.
Small gain.
Statewide, probably somewhere around 2,500 vacancies. Still have that statistic. Dylan was mentioning kind of that morale and what people and teachers were feeling about their industry. Still have about 1/5 of all teachers that enter as a new teacher leave in that first year. So you're losing.
After the first year?
No, in the middle of their first year.
The middle of the first year, they say, I don't want to do this.
But between start to the end of the year, you got about 20% of the people fleeing the industry.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And how many of them are still doing it after 5 years?
Well, that's another, that's a great question, because with our new millennials and the kind of the way that they think, the days of a long 30-year veteran teacher, those may be coming to an end. Mm. And, there's another statistic that we have out there, and you've seen it start, and it's probably also contributing to this vacancy factor, besides the, work conditions and the low pay, and is we had a lot of teachers that could retire did retire. And so we'll see that also happen within the next year or two. There's a large percentage of veterans that can retire, and you can bet right now with the workload that it takes to be a teacher, which is incredible. You'll see them, see them rightfully leaving.
If I had my way, every school, Dustin, Joe, and Dylan would have one, a counselor in their school. They would have a nurse, some kind of medical person, a librarian. Those three sound like just basic stuff that a school should have, but they don't all have that, do they?
That's absolutely correct. We are the leading nation as far as the lack of counselors.
Our state leads the nation in lack of counselors.
That's right, where the average is 1 per 900. So again, kudos to Governor Ducey. We did see an infusion of $20 million that was allocated in the last budget. We've had to go through a lot of red tape, and rightfully so, because we want to allocate the dollars correctly. But the $20 million that we saw was just put out for a grant purpose, and you could get a counselor or an SRO or a social worker. And the initial need that came back was $100 million.
Wow.
And that's just schools that have the capacity to go for a grant. And so if anybody's ever gone for a grant out there, it's extremely challenging to put those data points together, to structure the language correctly, to get it in on time. And you need personnel that can do that. And then you need people that have some sort of purview on how to put grants together, and they're just not easy.
Dylan, wouldn't you add a PE teacher to my list?
I would think so. Those are all some pretty important things that I remember from,
your days in Wisconsin.
Way back when.
Up
having
in the north woods of Wisconsin.
Somebody teaching you how to do push-ups correctly was that was a good thing to have. Somebody teaching me how to, back when you still had to navigate the library to get information.
Right.
But, somebody who understood
the Dewey Decimal System.
These days, teaching kids how to use the internet right and be media literate and how to tell the difference between complete nonsense and things that are reliable sources is probably even more important.
Well, and you just see that it's the whole gambit. It's every, education, just there's no one fixed solution. That's the problem. And you do need all these important milestones to, protect the arts and music and obviously extracurricular PE and stuff. It's funny, I was at a convention the other day, and there was a substitute teacher came and said, I'm shocked at how many kids don't understand how to play kickball.
Really?
And I was like, well, when you don't have a regular PE teacher on a regular basis, and like Dylan says, you're not taught how to do the push-ups correctly or how to play the game, which are essential roles for kids to learn. Yeah. I mean, that's where you start to first have your first debate, right? Bill is on that kickball team.
Well, I remember those kickball games.
Who's going to win, right?
They were pretty darn intense. So in many schools, a teacher comes out of the classroom to do PE. Is that how it works, Dustin? Kind of wear two hats, or
it depends. Sometimes you've got either the teacher's responsible, and they've got to put together their own PE curriculum, mm-hmm. or they go to what's called a special, which they'll have their PE once a week.
Oh.
But very rare I seen full day PE every day, or not full day, but at least for one of the hours. Mm.
Anyway, Dylan and Joe, we need to wrap this up. But Dylan, there's one area that we haven't covered, and that's something pretty important, Dustin, vaping.
Yeah.
It's a huge problem. We've had you on the show before talking about it. What can you kind of give us a quick update?
Yeah, we've got we've launched the education campaign. It's the real deal on vaping, and everything is at schools.pima.gov to find all of this. And we've partnered up with the entire Pima County Health Department, all of the schools, and we have a really, really amazing task force that has come behind this. And now there's some dollars getting allocated into that. We worked really, really hard with Senator Carter up in Phoenix to get rid of a really horrible bill that the Juul company put together. So that got squashed. We were really hoping that the county would come up and maybe step up and do the 18 to 21. It just didn't happen that time. Maybe it will come back.
The city did go along with that.
City came forward and said, we'll go ahead and push that through. So we do have a new ordinance that will keep vapors out of the hands of 18 to 21-year-olds from at least purchasing these things in the city.
All right, Dustin Williams. Thank you, sir. Covered a lot of ground today. Appreciate it.
Glad to be on. Thank you so much, gentlemen, also for hanging out with me and talking anytime, Bill.
All right.
I'm getting the kringle.
All right. I was just going to say, now as you and your fine assistant, Matt, will be heading up to Mona's Danish Bakery.
Tell them to get ready up there.
To make the order on the Danish Kringle. All right, the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, Joe Ferguson and Dylan Smith with me to talk in our roundtable portion of the hour. We've got a few items, to say the least, on our agenda. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We had our Friday Focus interview with Dustin Williams. Covered a lot of ground. Joe Ferguson is with me. Joe from the Arizona Daily Star, political writer. Dylan Smith is here, editor, publisher, founder, generally all-around good guy with TucsonSentinel.com.
Opinions vary, my friend.
And I will be making my donation. I want to go public with this toward TucsonSentinel.com because I think you and your team do a great job. And it may not, my donation may not be coming today. I do have a little time, but not a lot, right?
Yeah, actually, you have until just before the stroke of midnight on December
31st. That's what I thought.
That would be appreciated if you could get it in before that. Right now, we're running our, we're part of a national program called News Match that doubles your contribution to nonprofit news websites like TucsonSentinel.com. And it's a really big boost for us. We rely on local people, readers, our readers here in Tucson and Southern Arizona to support our work. And right now, if you donate to us, this program, a number of national foundations will double that money. If you sign up to give on a monthly basis, they will actually match the entire value of your yearly contribution. Wow. So that's a huge, huge boost and helps us keep going and keep digging into stories that otherwise might not be told.
Do I have to send a check or can I just do it with the credit card?
You can do it online. You can sign up at TucsonSentinel.com and make it very, very easy for you.
Okay, Joe Ferguson, your column today never fails to surprise me how many people like to toy with the idea of becoming a United States representative, a congressperson. But there are a whole lot of people. I think nearly 20 people have thrown their hats into the ring for one of Southern Arizona's three seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. The list is growing or shrinking?
Well, it just depends on the day. I've been told by that at least two of them are no longer part in the race, but that doesn't mean that aren't more waiting in the wings to make their announcement. I fully expect more people to announce after the new year. There isn't a lot of attention in terms of these races until after the new year anyways.
Well, I'm looking, Dylan, I'm looking at the list for, let's take District 1, Representative, the incumbent there, the Democrat, Representative Tom O'Halloran. I see a name or two from the last time around. Tiffany Shedd, she ran the last time. Did Barbara McGuire, the former state senator, is this her first time in, Joe, or did she run last time?
She didn't run last time. Didn't challenge the incumbent. Tom O'Halloran had an easy race 2 years ago.
There are a whole lot of kind of unfamiliar names in that race, and not unexpectedly, because that district is so huge. It runs, you know, past Flagstaff up to the Utah
Navajo
border.
Nation,
so,
right? Yep.
It's not squarely within Southern Arizona, even though it comes down right into the northern parts of the Tucson metro area. It's such a huge district.
And then you got eight candidates vying to challenge four-term Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick. Dylan, let me ask you, you've been around a while, because it does surprise me how many people don't take in the name recognition factor when they make these decisions.
What, whether to run or not?
Yes.
Well, I mean, in any race, you always end up with some people who are, I mean,
like a vanity run, perhaps?
Sometimes it's a vanity run. Sometimes it's people who are, you know, quite honestly, just a little bit off their rocker. And, the sort of perennial fringe folks who run for this and that and pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they bring a little bit of levity to the conversation. Other times it's just kind of hard to figure out what they bring at all.
And anybody can say they're going to run, right, Joe? But they have to back it up.
It's just a piece of paper.
With signatures. So this is what you wrote about in these names. Who knows if they'll even eventually get the signatures required? I have no idea.
Who knows if they will even begin to get the signatures, much less collect all the ones that they need to get on the ballot. There are always folks who announce that they're running and, you know, will throw their hat into the middle of the ring and then never even take the first step to actually get in the ring.
And for my listeners, I'll tell you that there are people out there that have ran vanity campaigns. So Mr. Bean ran in 2016. There was an Eat More Bacon candidacy in CD3 in 2016.
Really?
There was a Counter Go Vegan campaign also in CD3, if I recall correctly. So there are people that will fill out these forms that have no intention of doing anything more than hoping to get their name mentioned in a paper or
online. Well, it worked, right?
It did.
Yeah.
Goofball type candidacies. I want to switch gears here. Both of you are journalism professionals. One of the three universities that I attended...
How dare you, sir?
was Northwestern. And I know they're having all sorts of issues that in the media... the Daily Northwestern, Dylan, which is the student newspaper. Mm-hmm. What happened there that has garnered all this attention from the media profession?
So the...
Give it the bottom line.
The student-run college paper, I think, really undercut some of the professional values and ethics of reporting when they sort of knuckled under to some protests about what they were writing about. And they were writing about another protest. And I think they just went rather a bit too far in being responding to overly sensitive concerns. You know, reaching out to people to get their side of a story is not an invasion of privacy, and that's something that they, you know, they said they acknowledged. It's the job of a reporter,
yes,
to reach out to people and to try and get their side of the story. Doesn't mean they have to talk to people. Uh-huh. And if somebody talks to you, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to publish what they told you. Mm-hmm. Maybe it doesn't have any news value, but you can't complain about reporters trying to talk to people. That is our job. It's what we do.
Or photographers taking pictures at a public event.
Exactly. And forgive me, it slips my mind. They were the students that Northwestern were protesting a speech given by
Jeff Sessions.
That was it, Jeff Sessions. And they didn't like him, and it's certainly absolutely their right to go protest and jump up and down. But isn't the point of protesting in a public place to have people pay attention to you? Don't you want publicity? Don't you want people to notice? And especially if you are, as some claimed, you know, if you're unjustly tackled by a police officer, isn't it the job of the press to take note of that and mm-hmm. to tell people about it?
Joe, what do you think?
Well, I think that we've also entered into this kind of realm now where people are wearing masks, they're doing things to disguise their faces in public protests. If they are so concerned about their privacy, they could have taken steps to hide their identity as they went to this very public protest where it was absolutely clear that there would be journalists and photographers there covering the event. It was Jeff Sessions. It wasn't, you know, a small meeting of the steering committee for the, you know, local community college.
It's absolutely ridiculous to think that you can go protest in public and demand that no one pay attention to you. That's just like the most, convoluted, twisted, bizarre thinking I could possibly imagine. And then to demand that not only people not pay attention to you, but to essentially have a student newspaper knuckle under to that kind of demand and have them apologize for having paid attention to you, I think is just, that's that's ridiculous. And the students at the newspaper and the, you know, Medill at Northwestern is one of the most renowned journalism schools.
Very highly regarded.
You know, they took an awful lot of heat from reporters all over the country at all levels. And I think somewhat deservedly so. They're young kids. They're still students. But they really should know by now what
and
their
it
is
job student is. Run. They, you know, they have an advisor, but the advisor doesn't have really any kind of day-to-day input.
No, the students are in charge of it.
And I think that's the case, Joe, isn't it, here at the Daily Wildcat?
That's correct.
Here in Tucson, right?
Absolutely.
So I did see a statement from, I don't recall his name, there at Northwestern, that the advisor who was not happy with what
happened. Well, there was a really good statement from the dean of the journalism school there, who was, acknowledged that these were students, but also really stood up for the job of reporters, which is to, seek the truth and tell people about it.
What was the motive? What did the students say? What the students at the paper? What was their motive? Did they say? Bottom line, Dylan,
for
not covering this particular.
Well, they did cover, and then the students complained, and then they basically apologized for it and said, "Oh, we're sorry for invading your privacy." And
what if you did that on public? What if you start doing that with every story?
And one of the complaints was that they had used the student directory to look up phone numbers to go call these kids for comment about why they were protesting. I'm out of words about how ridiculous this is.
Well, I think that we should just remind ourselves that these students are often adults and should be treated as it. They shouldn't be discounted for being students. And, honestly, I applaud the reporters for going the extra mile and finding these people through the student directory.
Right.
That's
and
doing
job.
The following up. That's above and beyond what we see in sometimes in these campaign kind of coverage.
Mm-hmm. Joe, what do you have coming up in the paper? Are you working on anything that you'd like to tell our listeners about to look for?
I want to talk about my colleague Tony Davis. He has got another great story on water shortages here in Arizona.
He's doing a terrific job with the Rosemont coverage and on and on.
He is quite far one of the leading experts in water in terms of Arizona and in journalism here today.
This mm-hmm. latest turn of the wheel with Rosemont, I think, is...
It's a big deal.
It doesn't seem like, a banner kind of headline. It's just kind of, Rosemont got shoved down the road again. But... Is this where the plan to have that mine finally peter out into nothing?
It's big. It's delayed it to at least 2023, and the shareholders apparently they're not real happy from what I've heard, and the price of copper isn't cooperating with Hudbay, the owner.
And how much more money would Hudbay have to sink into this to keep pursuing, all of the lawsuits and decisions by the feds that have blocked them?
We're going to talk more about it on the show on Tuesday on the Buckmaster Show. But that's going to do it for today. Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. Thanks, Dylan, for your participation.
Thank you, sir. Always
and
a pleasure.
Joe Ferguson, thanks a lot for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Dan Gibson, Visit Tucson. We'll have our weekend watch. We'll get a jump start on the weekend on Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Moa Mosgallery in Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery in Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
A Citizens Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is preparing to develop the next RTA plan. That's why members want your input on a survey of draft guiding principles they prepared. The principles will help guide them as they develop the next 20-year plan.
which would be funded by a voter-required extension of the RTA's half-cent excise or sales tax. To take the survey or sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Weekend Watch with Dan Gibson, A Visit Tucson, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a 3-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for a complete listing of the great places to stay and so many opportunities to, as they say, recreate in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, including hiking in the world-famous Gila Wilderness. Check it out, southwestnewmexico.org. In today for the traveling Matt Russell is Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. Dan, how are you?
I'm fine. I just got a message from Matt on Facebook Messenger. He was at he's at the airport in Phoenix. He could have made the show, but he didn't make the effort. So I'm here to fill in again.
For
the lackadaisical Matt Russell.
There you go. You're doing double duty here for us. What's going on this weekend? Give us the jump start on the weekend.
You got it. You know, Arizona Sonora Desert Museum, I think when you think about it, you're like, oh, it's a great place to go. I'm going to take my visitors, people coming to see me. But they're having a ton of great events lately, including a lot of ones that are food-focused, including one this Saturday, 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m., Sonoran Harvest, Taste the Desert. So it's local chefs, local food trucks, restaurants, battling to become the Sonoran Harvest champion using either prickly pear or mesquite in their dish. So you get a flavors of the desert, Geronimo's Revenge, Welcome Diner, Batch, Mestizo, Sonoran Bistro are some of the people that are participating. So you get to drink local beer, watch people compete, use Sonoran ingredients in an interesting way, and you get to be outside while it's still nice. Nice temperate evening temperatures at the Desert Museum.
So when is that again?
It is tomorrow from 6 to 9:30 p.m., and tickets are available at desertmuseum.org.
All right, that's a good suggestion. What else you got for us?
Well, thanks, Bill. Sunday from 5 to 8 p.m., you can do both of these things.
Yeah.
Just notably enough, it is a rooftop Del Bach party at Playground Bar and Lounge. Live music and whiskey pairings. It'll be lovely up there as well. There's going to be a raffle for a Del Bach tour experience, 5 custom Del Bach cocktails, live music from the Street Blues family, bottles and glassware for sale with a gift wrapping station. It's $10 in advance, $15 at the door. You can go on, I believe, on Whiskey Del Bach's Facebook page and get all the information for that, but it should be a lovely time. A local product, again, get to experience in a different way. You can get the holiday shopping just wrapped up. Who doesn't enjoy a nice bottle of Whiskey Del Bach?
The Whiskey Del Bach's doing very well, too, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, it's one of those things that they just make an excellent product. And so, you know, we talk about it a lot, and we've gotten a fair amount of coverage out of telling that Whiskey Del Bach story. But, you know, it tastes like Tucson, which really helps. And they're doing whiskey in a way that not many people in the country are bothering to go to the extent that they are. So, well recommended. If you have not had whiskey Del Bac, actually have it at Costco this time of year if you've run out of ideas of things to do for gifts.
All right.
A local bottle would be a delightful choice.
Take one more, Dan.
Well, you know, Saturday morning, it might be a little early for some folks, but I will be at 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Humane Society Sweat for Pets Walk, Run, and Roll event.
Very cool.
An opportunity to get moving, raise some money for dogs and cats at the Humane Society. It's at Kino Sports Complex. It's registration, I think, is $20. There'll be food trucks. There'll be a beer garden. There's kids' fun zone. I will be DJing the music for people to enjoy. There'll be a dance performance. It is a whole event happening there at Kino Sports Complex for the Humane Society.
Very good. Very good suggestions. Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson. Thank you, sir.
Always my pleasure to fill in for Lazy Matt.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music for our program composed by Chris Stefan. Thanks to Rosemary Brandt, my assistant, and everyone here at KVOI, including engineer-producer John Couch. Thanks, John. Hope everybody has a safe and pleasant weekend. Back with you Monday, 12:04. Have a good one.